Ephesians 6 verse 10 to 12 says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places." The boss is not our enemy. Our wife, husband is not our enemy. The guy hooting at you when you dare to stop at the red light, not your enemy. God is not our enemy. He's a good God. He's on our side. He's not the source of evil. In fact, he's the Father of light, and in him there is no darkness at all. Our battle, Paul says, is against the rulers, authorities, cosmic powers, spiritual forces of evil, against the schemes of the devil. But you know, we cannot stand against the enemy unless we know and understand and lean into the fact, which is a doctrinal truth that Paul explains chapters 1 to 3 in Ephesians, about our position in the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2 verse 6 says, "God raised us up with him and seated him," it's Jesus, "and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus." So where are these heavenly places? Ephesians 1 verse 21 says, "It is far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come." We are seated with Christ far above all the enemy forces that Paul talks about in chapter 6. This, as we said, is a doctrinal truth, which Paul explains in chapter 1 to 3. So I had the privilege of being in China for 2 weeks, end of last year, for work. And we visited the wholesale market in Jiavu. I don't know if Taimi is here. It's probably not Jiavu. It's probably Yiwu or something like that. But it is, apparently, it's the biggest wholesale market in the world. And according to Google, if you spend a couple of minutes in each stall, it will, and you work 5 days a week, 8 hours a day, it will take you 1.5 years to walk through that market. So obviously, we went there from Shanghai, took the speed train, which is cool. Between the stations, it pick up speeds 250 kilometers an hour, slow down again, and so on. We spent the day from 8 o'clock in the morning until 6 in the afternoon in the market, obviously just, you know, seeing a little bit of the wholesale market. And we walked about 21,000 steps. We were tired, I'm telling you. So when we got back on the train, we sat down for an hour and a half. We didn't have to lift a finger to move that train. We just sat down and relaxed and enjoy the ride. So this is the natural order of things, isn't it, for us? We work hard, we walk, we struggle, we fight, and then we sit down and have the cup of tea. We go for a run, we come, sit down, and do your protein shake. But this is not God's order. The Christian life starts with sitting. Before we can walk, we must sit. Before we can stand, we must sit. But what does it mean to be seated with Christ in heavenly places? I'll read some of the summary of some of the verses that how Paul explains it in chapters 1 to 3. He says, "We are blessed with every spiritual blessing," Ephesians 1 verse 3. We are chosen before the foundation of the earth. Ephesians 1 verse 4. We are adopted as sons. Ephesians 1 verse 5. We are blessed with grace. Ephesians 1 verse 6. We are redeemed and forgiven. Ephesians 1 verse 7. We have an inheritance. Ephesians 1 verse 11. We are sealed with the Holy Spirit, who is our guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire full possession of it. Ephesians 1 verse 14. We receive power. Like I said, this is the same power that God worked when he raised Jesus from the dead. Ephesians 1, 19 to 20. We are made alive and are saved by grace. Ephesians 2 verse 5. And the wall of hostility has been broken down between us and God. Ephesians 2, 14. We are reconciled with God, Ephesians 2, 6. We have access to the Father, Ephesians 2, 18. We are members of the household of God, Ephesians 2, 19. And Christ now dwells in our hearts, Ephesians 3, 17. We are loved by Christ and filled with the fullness of God, Ephesians 3, 19. And then, of course, we are raised up with Christ and seated in heavenly places. Christianity does not begin with a big do. It begins with a big done. The finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. I don't know who is following boxing. I think MMA is bigger these days than boxing. But for my age group's sake, let's take Muhammad Ali. I don't know if you guys remember Muhammad Ali. Muhammad Ali goes into a heavyweight title fight. And the prize money is $1 billion. And he fight hard. His nose gets broken, gets a cut above the eyes, blood everywhere, ribs are cracked, blue eyes. But in the last round, a left jab, and he knocks the opponent out. He won the match. And they hand over the check of $1 billion. So then he goes home, open the door, his wife greets him. Hi, honey. He hands over the $1 billion. She takes a check. She didn't lift a finger to win that. She did nothing. All she has to do is take the check of $1 billion and enjoy it. Go and spend it. The book of Ephesians opens in Ephesians 1 verse 3 with a statement that God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. It's like Brian talked last week, and I can't remember that big English word, Brian, but all is all. In Christ, it's not half measures. Every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. And we are invited at the very outset to sit down and enjoy what God has done for us and not to try to attain it for ourselves. Walking and standing implies effort, but we are saved and seated with Christ. Not by our own effort, but by His grace. Our Christian life, from start to finish, is based upon the principle of utter dependence on Jesus. And then Paul goes on in Ephesians 1, 18 and 19, and he prays that our eyes will open to see this reality, this truth. He says, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which you have been called? What are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints? And what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us? Toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might. But how do we sit? Do we sit
sit like this, leaning halfway on our own strength. No, we sit like this with our full weight.
When I was in China, I had the privilege of attending a church service in Shanghai. And Pastor Daniel, that's leading that church, he preached the morning. And he's originally from Japan, but he's now living in Shanghai. And he told this story. He said he and his wife was in one of the Southeast Asian countries doing ministry. And while they were there, he got a phone call from the church office. And they said, the police are here. They said that we have broken some of the rules and are going to close down the church. So his wife immediately said, we have to fly back. We got to do something. He said, no. We sit down. We're not going to lift a finger. We're going to trust God. Because of this scheme of the devil, we are not going to fly back. Because if we fly back, we're going to lose money. You have to buy another ticket, change the ticket. You're going to lose your hotel costs. You're going to lose the time that you would have spent ministry with these people. And you're going to lose your peace. No. We are seated in Christ. We trust Him. So they did. The church is still going. They didn't close it down. The church is now going for 17 years, by the way. And the funny thing is, interestingly enough, afterwards, he talked to one of the policemen. And the policeman said, you know why we came to your church office? It is because a staff member that you fired came to us and said, listen, this church is not following the rules. Go and check it out. Look at the schemes of the devil. Look how he influenced people against each other, even within the body of Christ. So fight is not against flesh and blood. And we stand in Christ. But as you know, in our Christian walk, we so often struggle with sin, with the flesh, the old man, the old us, which was supposed to be dead, which is not dead quite yet, you know. So what's the secret? Secret is not in walking more, doing more. The secret is in sitting and resting in something done. The complete work of Christ Jesus on the cross. Romans 6, 2-4 says, by no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. The old man is buried with Christ on the cross. I don't know if you know of the author Watchman Nee. He's a Chinese pastor, beginning of 1900s. I think he lived until 1970s. So there was a young man in his church during the Second World War. He was an engineer, and he had to serve in the army for a couple of years. And when he came back home, his wife was cheating on him with his best friend. So he struggled. He could not forgive them. So he went to Watchmani and said, "Pastor, you must help me. What can I do to forgive them? I'm a Christian. I know I must forgive. I know that I must love, but I cannot." Watchmani said, "Do nothing at all." And he said, "But you don't understand. I need your help. Tell me what I can do." Then Watchmani replied, and I'm going to read the answer of Watchmani. He said, "The solution to your problem lies here, that when the Lord Jesus died on the cross, he not only bore your sins away, but he bore away you too. When he was crucified, your old man was crucified with him, so that that unforgiving you, who simply cannot love and forgive who wronged you, has been taken right out of the way in his death. God has dealt with this whole situation on the cross already, and there is nothing left for you to deal with. Just say to him, 'Lord, I cannot love, and I give up trying, but I count on thy perfect love. I cannot forgive, but I trust thee to forgive in me.'" So if you perhaps think, and Watchmani lived by this principle, but maybe you would think the back of your mind, maybe he was sitting on his hands, pun intended, doing nothing. Well, Watchmani is considered as one of the most influential Christians of his century. He planted many churches in China, wrote several books, trained Bible students, and after the Communist Revolution, he spent the last 20 years of his life in prison. So by no means he was sitting idle on his hands. He was doing, but from which position? From the position in Christ. So it is from this position in Christ Jesus that Paul tells us that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, that we should stand against the enemy, putting on the full armor of God. Ephesians 6, verse 14, he says, "Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth." For the Roman soldier, the belt held everything together. The small round shield, they hooked in it, the dagger, the sword. It also served as a symbol of representing your identity and honor. I was in the old South African Army, and on the inside of our belt, we had to write our blood type, just in case the medic needed it. So the belt seems pretty important. It holds things together. It gives you information. But do we walk in the truth of God's word, or are we playing around with white lies or deception, maybe even? The truth of God holds our life together, and it's a very slippery slope if we start just a little white lie here, just bending the truth here. We need to walk in the light because we serve a God that is light. So next, Paul tells us to put on the breastplate of righteousness, Ephesians 6, 14. The breastplate protects the most vulnerable parts of the body. The enemy often shoots his fiery darts of doubt and deception when we are most vulnerable. God cannot forgive this sin, he says. You have gone too far. You are not really safe. You're not good enough. So what's interesting, after this church service in Shanghai, I spoke to one of the staff members, Leslie, great guy. And he talked about the false teachings going around in the Chinese church. Same stuff that we get here, prosperity theology. And then this one, he says it's quite big in China. We find this here as well, I think. You know, when you walk across the road, the bus kills you, you haven't confessed your sins before that, you're not going to heaven. You know that one? Well, that's not true. We, in Christ, we have the breastplate of righteousness is an imputed righteousness. It's nothing we do to earn. It is God depositing his righteousness into our account. And in Christ, all our sins are forgiven, present, past, and future. That is the finished work of Christ. And that is the good news. Honestly, otherwise it wouldn't be good news at all. The moment we receive Jesus in our lives, we are transferred into his kingdom. No more doubts. No more chicken or egg, which one was first, going round and round. No, no more doubts. And then Paul goes on, Ephesians 6, verse 13, talks about the shoes. He says we must put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. Readiness for what? Well, to stand against the enemy. You see those studs? That is so that the Roman soldier can stand his ground, dug into the ground against the enemy. I wondered if I should share this, but I like the picture of it. Those of you who are rugby fans, you know the guys wore tocks. And then with studs as well, which they dig into the grass at scrum time. So there was a certain team that had a very powerful scrum last year. And you can clearly see when they are setting the scrum, the guys would kick, literally kicking into the grass, into position. And then from that position, that eight men will move and dig in. And move and dig in until they pick up momentum and destroy the other team's scrum. But it starts with that position, together digging in. We also need the shoes for readiness to move. There's 3.2 billion unreached people that haven't heard about Jesus, that does not have access to the gospel or a church. Or the Bible, there's enough work. There's enough work right here. There's enough work over there. Interestingly enough, and Dana, Brian, you guys will know this very well. When you visit churches in other places of the world, even in a place like China, they talk about missions all the time. This church that I visited, they are so mission-minded. The pastor keep referring to the mission table at the back and say, oh, remember, you know, go and make a turn, see how God can use you. Their mission field, us, Africa, America, Japan. That is how God works. Psalm 119, verse 165 says, great peace have those who love your law. Nothing can make them stumble. We have the gospel of peace. We can stand and we can move forward in confidence. Isaiah 54:10 says, for the mountains may depart and the hills be removed, but my steadfast love shall not depart from you, and my covenant of peace shall not be removed, says the Lord who has compassion on you. Then Paul goes on in Ephesians 6, verse 16, and he talks about the shield. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. So a Roman soldier had two shields, a small one for hand-to-hand combat, and then the big one that was about his size, his length. And the problem with a big shield is it can only protect one side of you. So those of you who've seen the movie Top Gun, or one of those, you remember there's a six. That is the guy at the back. So 12 o'clock is in front of you, 6 o'clock at the back. So this number six, you will have, you can't see everything. There's not mirrors on the jets. You need that guy to look around and cover your back. So in a similar way, the Roman armies had this thing that they formed called a testudo. Tortoise, is that correct? Tortoise, yeah. It's a formation. So you will have the first guy with a shield, the second guy on top going over and around. So everyone is now protected by this raining fiery arrows of the enemy. But it is by coming together, doing it together. You know, Christianity is not a lone ranger business. It is not. We are part of the body of Christ. We need each other. We need each other here, Sunday mornings. We need to have coffee and Bible study and meeting and going out together, preaching the gospel, or helping someone. We need the WhatsApp prayer groups. That is how we will stand against the fiery darts of the enemy. Not alone, because you cannot cover yourself alone. We need each other. And then Paul says in Ephesians 6:17, you must take the helmet of salvation. Romans 12 verse 2 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. And Ephesians 4:23 says, instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts, your attitudes, the NLT. So applying salvation to our minds frees our minds to the old self. The sinful flesh, it frees us to do the good works in Christ set out for us since before the foundation of the world. Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. It also protects our mind against sin and against the fiery darts of the enemy. And then in closing, we take up the sword. This is the only offensive part of the armor of God. Ephesians 6:17. When Jesus was tempted, he said, it is written. But we must know the word of God so that when we draw the sword, it's not only a handle. We must spend. Psalm 1 gives us a hint on how we can know the word of God by meditating on it day and night. I think the love language of the Bible is spending time. There's no substitute. We have to spend time in the word of God. And as we do, we will learn to love it more and more. It is inevitable. You do fall in love with the word the more you spend time in it. So, knowing the word, so that when we draw the sword, it's a sharp, two-edged sword. So in 2026, let us not rise up early and go to rest late, in vain eating the bread of anxiousness. Psalm 127. But let us walk and let us stand against the schemes of the enemy, seated with Christ and equipped with the full armor of God. You know, it was very nice in Windhoek when everybody went away. If you stay here, it's so quiet now, and all the crossings are not that busy, and so on. But now, especially from tomorrow when the school starts, it's going to be busy again. You know, this crossing at Marua Mall, for example. So imagine Hunga decides to walk into that crossing. Said, well, do you think the cars will stop? Nope. Maybe Kaku will stop. She will say, that's my husband. He's an air traffic controller. The rest of the people will not. They might call the psychiatric ward. Say, there's a crazy guy here. But if Hunga goes and put on a police uniform, goes stand there and he put up his hand, what will happen? Cars will stop. It's not about us. It's about who we are in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 3, verse 20 to 21 says, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we worship you. We thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you that we are saved through the finished work of the cross. And thank you that we can now rest completely in that finished work. And that we are free to do the good work set out for us, even before the foundation of this earth. So Lord, help us to not lean in our own understanding and in our own strength, but to lean into you as our foundation. In Jesus' name, amen.